Dr. Adams, this conversation started in my family the night of July 4th, whenever my 9-year-old son said to me as we were heading out to watch fireworks in downtown Indianapolis, he said, shootings happen in large crowds. Have you been talking with people lately who have seen a lot of this?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the topic of violence and shootings in particular has been on the minds of a lot of families. So this is something we've certainly, encountered in clinic, but, we've also encountered it a lot in our day-to-day lives, just as you've described.
What do you tell kids who come with this concern after hearing the news of the past few weeks and even the past few years with all of these news stories over and over again about people being shot in various situations, including in schools? I mean, what do you say to them to help soothe the psyche about these things?
Yeah, well, when a child or a teenager or even, parents and other caregivers raise questions or concerns about violence that they've either heard about or seen on the news or that's maybe happened in their community, one of the first things that we try and do is get a sense of what they already know. Starting that conversation, leaving those lines of communication open and making it clear that this is an okay topic for us to talk about is one of the first things that we do. Sometimes kids know a lot, either because they've been exposed to a lot on the various forms of media, or they've sort of passively or actively been a part of grown-up conversations about violence. Maybe they've heard their friends talk about it, or maybe it's something that they've even experienced more directly. Sometimes they have a lot of information. Sometimes they don't have very much, but what they do know makes them feel worried or scared or anxious. And so starting off with what do you know? And then, one, offering answers to questions that they might have, trying to keep that short to the point. Also focused on, what are some of the positives? In other words, what are some of the things that the adults are doing to help or to keep kids safe? Sometimes there's a need for some gentle correction. Maybe they misunderstand or, as they've tried to make sense of what's happening, have kind of drawn some conclusions that are maybe making them feel more scared than they need to. So, we see what they know, let them know that it's okay to talk about, see what questions they have, offer accurate but developmentally appropriate information and kind of take it from there.
When I talk to my son and I hear him say something like this, this, of course, concerns me deeply, as I'm sure it does many other parents who have had the same experience. What level of impact on a child does hearing these kinds of things over and over again have?
Well, one piece of advice that I would give to parents related to this point is to do the best you can. And this is a tall order, I understand, but to do your best in one, limiting media exposure about shootings and other types of mass violence. If that's the only thing that kids are hearing or seeing on the news, or if it's always on in the background, that can amplify kids' sense of how likely these things are to happen in their own day-to-day lives. And when that happens and have repeated exposure like that, kids may be more likely to feel anxious or worried or, on guard or high alert, even in situations that are otherwise really safe. So that's one point, is to try and limit media exposure as best you can about these types of events. Another is to try and watch what your kids are watching, or to watch, as appropriate, coverage together, and use that as an opportunity to have conversations within your family about what happened and also what you and the other adults in your child's life are doing to help keep them safe and secure. One thing that can be tricky, of course, is that sometimes, kids have access to screens and information that you may not always know what they've seen. Or, you know, they may be watching a cartoon in the other room and there's a late breaking news alert about, you know, a scary event like a shooting. So we don't always have complete control over that. But again, that's why I come back to this point of, you know, opening with questions like, what do you already know about this? What are some questions you have? And discussing things from there. I think it's also reasonable to share, you know, with your children, you know, some of the things that you do when you're feeling upset or worried or scared, the ways that you might sort of calm down or take a break. And when it comes to things like exposure to media coverage of violence and shootings, one of the best things that a lot of us can do is make sure that we're taking breaks and that we're still going about our routines and spending time with the people we care about.
Is it okay to let our kids know that these things make us scared or anxious?
Sure. You know, it's sort of hard to imagine that it wouldn't, right? That being scared or anxious or confused, just as a few examples of emotions people might have, that's normal. And it's part of reacting to scary things. But again, I think there's an opportunity there to then model. And when I feel scared, here are some of the things that I do to help myself feel better. I wonder if you could do these with me, or I wonder what you do when you're feeling scared. And, you know, again, for many kids and families, talking about it in ways that are, you know, thoughtful and intentional can be helpful. But also just, you know, making sure that you're reserving plenty of time to be together as a family, to, as I said before, maintain routines, to check in with each other. Those are some of the best things that you can do.
Are there any questions that maybe I should have asked that I haven't?
I don't know that there's any questions that you should have asked. I know one question we get a lot is, you know, related to when should we do something more? So, you know, most of us, I guess the context of this conversation is folks who may not have been directly involved in one of the events or incidents, but this is, you know, folks who are hearing about it or seeing it on the news. And most folks are going to be able to, you know, sort of recover and be able to, you know, do the things that they need to do without a whole lot of disruption or impairment in the long run. But sometimes we're asked, well, when do we need to maybe meet with a doctor or a mental health professional or a counselor at school? And my answer is usually anytime you're concerned that fears or worries or depressed mood or acting out behavior, if it starts to interfere with your child's ability to kind of do the things that they would normally do, so if they seem more withdrawn and they decide, you know, they're not able to, you know, do things at school, or they're not wanting to do as much with friends or with family as they normally would like to do. If that goes on for, you know, several days or a couple of weeks, I'd recommend folks give their pediatrician a call or reach out to the, you know, a mental health professional in their community. And then certainly if there's any concerns about, you know, safety, those are times to reach out as well.
All right, Dr. Zach Adams, clinical psychologist at Riley Children's Health. You've been so kind to answer these questions.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.